The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starrs.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starrs Radio Show. It's an honor to have you with us today, by golly. Folks, we've got a great show for you. A lot of stuff going on around the country. Not exactly, it's not a breaking news Tuesday. It's just one of those, a lot of the conservative radio hosts are on vacation. And so folks are just sort of meandering their way through the week. It's sort of like taking a raft trip down on the Chattahoochee River. You just kind of, go where the river takes you. And that's basically what we're doing this week on the radio program. But we do have a lot of important stories to get to today. Want to welcome all of our brand new listeners in places like the great state of Nevada, also the great state of Michigan. We're really honored to have you folks with us. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you're going to call in and join the conversation today. 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. So yesterday after the show, it's hotter than blue blazes in Memphis, Tennessee, which is where we base this radio program, our Southern Command. There's really not much you can do except stay inside. That's why God invented air conditioning for Southerners, so that we could survive the heat of the summertime and the humidity. So I went home and caught up on one of my favorite TV shows. So I was talking to the guys about this before we started the show today. I've become fixated on this program on Paramount, the Paramount Television Network, called Yellowstone. Have you guys seen Yellowstone? It's an amazing, amazing series.
I've seen a couple of episodes, yeah.
And honestly, I think Kevin Costner was made for the role of John Dutton. So let me give you guys the backstory here. And I want to explain why people, I didn't realize so many other people are watching this TV series. And I want to set the record straight here. It is not for the family. It is not for the entire family. This is not a family-friendly TV series. A little on the graphic side. But the entire series is set in Montana, and the name of the ranch is Yellowstone. And Kevin Costner plays the father, the patriarch of this ranching family. It's an old school. It's set in modern day America, but these are old school ranchers. And John Dutton is the character he plays, and Costner just does a brilliant job of playing the character and telling the story. And really the story is central to what's happening. I think the conflict, the drama in this TV series is really central to what's happening in our country, the fight that we are having nationally in this country. 7 million people are watching this TV series. It's the most watched TV show in America right now. And I've been watching it from day one. I've got all three seasons downloaded on the iTunes, and it's just one of those shows that you got to sit down and watch and enjoy. And I was catching up on it last night. I think it airs live on Sundays, but I hate the commercials. So I always wait and watch it the day after. But a lot of people I've been talking to folks about this on social media. A lot of people say, well, why is this show so popular? Why is it resonating, especially with men in America? And I have a theory about that. Because Yellowstone is about, oh, it's about men being men. We're talking about old school toxic masculinity. This idea that women, even even women who are cowgirls, prefer a man who is strong, a man who is protective, a man who is out there, who is a hard worker, a man who is a provider. And right or wrong, these men are making decisions. They are the leaders of their homes. And that is a concept that is so foreign to America right now that to watch that play out on television in this TV series is unusual. And I think that those of us who grew up in a period when men did not shave their legs, by and large, and men who men did not wear makeup, by and large, I think that is a compelling story for a lot of us growing up back in the day. Not that there's anything wrong with shaving your legs. You know, it's a free country. Do whatever you want to, but you got to get a little bit chilly in the wintertime. That's all I'm trying to say. So I've been watching this, and beyond the drama between the men and the women in the TV series, which again I just think is it's fascinating because it really does illustrate a kind of American man that by and large does not exist in many large urban cities anymore. The large in charge masculine man has been replaced by the submissive pajama boy snowflake who wears the skinny jeans and, you know, weeps, is very emotional. I mean, Avery, you're in the film industry. Do you see this a lot in, I mean, in the way men are portrayed on the big screen?
Not as often as you like as we did in like movies such as Casablanca. There's you don't see that sort those sort of roles anymore, or not as much. I mean, like you for, you know, we've talked about it on the show several times. I'm a big fan of like Marvel superheroes and things like that. And so there are strong male leads as well. And but they're this is honestly this is kind of a hard question to answer because I'm not seeing like super feminized men in on the screen yet. So I will say that that is probably coming really soon, and we're going to see that a lot more than we have in the past.
Is it safe to say we're seeing that though on the television screens okay. in our
oh
in
yeah
our homes?
Yeah, definitely. And like it's starting to hit, I believe, TV like it's starting to hit television series more often than it or more rapidly than it is hitting the film, like the movie industry right now. We're definitely seeing that like in a lot of TV shows nowadays. Like with what was that show that you were talking about? It's like the most politically correct show you've ever seen. It's got Rob Lowe in it and stuff like that.
Oh, yes. 911.
Yeah.
What is it? Lone Star is the name of the show. Yeah.
So that's why I say it's hitting more of the television industry rather than the film industry at this point.
What struck me, I was reading the New York Post this morning, and there was just I'm not going to give away the plot. There was a huge plot development last night, which was just jaw-dropping. Didn't see it coming. And again, all the guys are ranchers. They're foul mouthed. You know, it's a lot of bad language. Women are, for better or for worse, objectified. You know, they got the posters up on the walls of the the bunkhouse, the whole nine yards. It is probably the most politically incorrect TV show in America right now. And what's shocking about this, guys, you know, we talk about Fox News Channel's ratings all the time. What Tucker Carlson blowing it out the wazoo there with the ratings. What was it? 4 million people watch Tucker Carlson. 7 million people. 7 million people watch this TV show. And I think the reason why is that people are just fed up with how Hollywood wants us to think men should behave these days. I mean, this is an old school John Wayne Marlboro man representation of American men. Bold, rugged. They're not in touch with their inner feelings. You know, they're not going to the therapist. And the women like that. Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe the ladies in the audience can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's why, by and large, so many guys are watching this show. By the way, the other part of all of this that I find fascinating is the political intrigue. There's a lot of politics going on in this story. And really, it's about big business coming in, scooping up the land, and really turning these pristine forests into commercial zones, you know, with big hotels and the resorts and the whatnot. So there's this interesting story about conservation. And honestly, when you go back and when you read your Bible, you know, I think by and large, people of faith, we are called to be conservationists. We're called to be good stewards of what God has created. And so there's that subtext going on. And then this idea of really in Washington, no one is the friend of the working man. No one is the friend of the rancher, the guy, you know, the average Joe, if you will. And it's true. It's true. You think the Republican Party is your friend? Come on. Really? So anyway, great TV show. And I would encourage, if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to watch it. Do not watch it with your kids. Don't do that. It's an adult program. All right, look, got a lot to say here. Some disturbing video coming out of Washington, D.C. You folks in Nevada are going to pay very close attention to this story. We're going to play this audio when we come back from break. Also, the district attorney in Shelby County, Tennessee, which is where Memphis is located, her home came under attack by these Black Lives Matter domestic terrorists. They tried to burn down her house, folks. Tried to burn down the district attorney's house by launching fireworks at the poor woman's house. They burned all of the flags in her front yard. We're going to bring you up to speed on that story as well. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our website, toddstarnes.com. A lot of you folks new to the program as we start the fourth year of our existence, and we have some great resources for you on our website, and they're free of charge. We do our very best, and longtime listeners of the show, you guys know this. We do our very best to make sure that we give you a lot of free resources because everybody's got, we only have so much money to go around. And we have two free resources for you, my daily podcast, which you can download at toddstarnes.com, and also our weekly newsletter comes out Monday, Wednesday, Friday with all of the stories that the team is working on. We have a staff of about, I don't know, 7 or 8 people that are working, putting together all the stories that we talk about on the program. So again, toddstarnes.com. Take advantage of those resources and share them with the friends and the neighbors. Tell them to listen to us. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. 844-747-8868, Little Rock, Arkansas. Danny, what's going on?
Hey, buddy. I'd never heard of you until Rush with the issues he's having. God bless him. And I guess they put him in you and in his slot here on 102.9, whatever. And you're awesome. I mean, it's just like, I was like, who is this guy? He's great. Yeah, I've never even heard of him. And we need more of you. We need more of you, dude. It's just, I just wish we had a bigger, it seems like the left-wing media has such a bigger platform than Republicans or conservatives, and it makes me sick at my stomach, and it scares me a little that we just don't have enough platform for some reason. But Kevin, you were talking about Kevin Costner, you know, is this Yellowstone that you're talking about?
Yeah, is Yellowstone.
Is it going to live up? Is it going to live up to the Hatfields and McCoys? Because that was beautifully made.
You know that what? You know what? I forgot all about that, Danny. That was one of those series, miniseries. I could watch it over and over and over again. Just so well done.
The Hatfields and McCoys.
Hatfields and McCoys. And Yellowstone, yeah, look, Costner, it's almost, you would not think that that Kevin Costner was an actor. You think this guy is out there and he's actually a rancher, you know, who goes around herding cattle all day. Yeah, it's a terrific show, and you ought to check it out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Yellowstone, I'm all over it the way you're talking about it. You know, it's not too PC. The guys are getting their, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not modern day. I don't want to get anybody. But anyway,
Danny,
you know,
Danny, let me tell you. You're not going to see any of the guys drinking apple teenies. That's there's a lot of drinking, carousing, and cussing.
That's what I was getting at. And a huge Tucker Carlson fan here, but he kind of sometimes he tinkers with his loyalty toward the ride in some people's mind. But I get him. I love Tucker. I think he's awesome. But some people on the right get a little nervous about him. But I'm a huge fan of him. And that's pretty much all I got. But I'm gonna check that Yellowstone out. I appreciate you telling me that. I'm going for it, man.
Yeah,
I love almost anything he does.
Now, Danny, I'm telling you, I'm a good church-going Baptist, but this is not for the good church-going Baptist. So there are a few scenes a little dicey, but you know, I mean, it is what it is. So I think you'll enjoy it, though. And Danny, hey, welcome to the show. This is what it's all about. And I, you know, yeah, we love Rush Limbaugh on this program. And Rush has been a longtime friend and frequently reads a lot of the columns that I write on his program. And we honor him. And we encourage all of you folks. By the way, Rush was asked how he's doing just the other day, and he said he's on second base, heading for home plate, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Rush Limbaugh. Danny, thanks for the call. Let's go to New York City. James listening to us on the live stream. James, I'm curious, what part of the city are you in, and how are things there?
I live in Manhattan. And basically what New York has become is almost like that Will Smith movie, I Am Legend, where the city has shut down and other entities other than what I'm used to living here in New York have taken over. I'm an independent. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I voted for President Trump the first time. I'm going to vote for him again. I voted for Obama the first time, and I was not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I'm disgusted at what's happening in this country, especially with regards to cities that are being run by extreme radical liberals. And there's nothing wrong with somebody being a liberal or a Democrat. It's when you take it to the extreme. And things have gotten really, really out of control here. And what I've noticed with George Floyd and Elijah McClain and all these other bad situations involving police officers is the Black Lives Matter movement has started to use what Black Lives Matter represents as an excuse for their own agenda. And it's really, really awful.
I've been hearing that. You know, I moved from Brooklyn about 2 months ago, and it was getting bad then, James. And my concern here, and we've got about 10 seconds, my concern is this is going to get a whole heck of a lot worse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is all about corporate pandering and people playing down to the corporation's base, just so they don't lose their dollars and their revenue streams. This is not about Black Lives Mattering anymore. This is about greed.
James, well said, sir. Welcome to the program. Hey, give us a call back sometime and keep us updated on what's happening there, boots on the ground in Manhattan. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here, pay some bills. ToddStarnes.com, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, Caleb and Avery, you know what? You know what makes the oppressive humidity in Memphis, Tennessee, much more tolerable?
What?
Yellowstone?
No. Very clever. Very clever. No, a gallon jug of sweet tea.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's always good.
I've been chugging ice cold sweet tea like nobody's business. That and we crank the air conditioning. It is a crisp 68 degrees in the broadcast studio. Ooh.
Well, see, we've got clouds and some rain here in Gainesville, so it's not so hot. But I have no question that as soon as these clouds lift, it'll be just as bad here.
Yeah,
it'll be 93. The only
problem, I need little windshield wipers for my glasses. I walk outside.
Yeah,
I can't see anything.
Yeah,
that's a little foggy.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue with wearing glasses is they just fog up.
Also,
don't the
masks make that worse? I've heard that.
Yes, they do.
Well, and that was the segue to our guest, who is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Greg Murphy from the 3rd Congressional District of North Carolina. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Good afternoon. I hope you guys are doing well. And let me point out, having worn a surgical mask for 30 years, they do make your glasses fog up, and they're special masks that I wear in the operating room so I can actually see what I'm doing. It's very helpful when you operate.
That does seem to be the big bee in the bonnet of the people, at least in our part of the country, Congressman, where they want to wear the masks, but it fogs up the glasses and it just makes it a little difficult getting around. I'm wondering, what are you hearing from people? Because there's almost kind of like this rage now associated with those who wear the masks and those who do not wear the masks.
Well, I personally, I have to say I've looked at the data of this pandemic really since it came out in January. I've spoken with tens of multiple people through the last several months, and I've read literally everything you can get your hand on. It does show that using masks decreased the exposure of about 50%. It's not perfect. It doesn't do, it's not a perfect stopgap by any means, but it does decrease the amount of viral particles that are put out. Is it the end-all, be-all? No, I think all the things in combination work together. There was actually a study that came that was in the New England Journal of Medicine that talked about masks, and they actually didn't promote the masks really as much, other than in close settings for an extended period of time. I just think, personally, I think it's silly that it's become a political issue, but, hell, everything's political these days, and that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that ain't that the truth. Congressman, here, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, I think Memphis, Tennessee, they're getting ready to shut everything back down again. We're hearing rumblings of that happening in other places, too. At what point do you say, guys, we're just going to have to learn how to deal with this? We just can't shut everything down indefinitely.
I think that point was 6 weeks ago. If you'll actually look at what's happening in the country now, because the great clamor was for more tests, more tests, more tests. Well, we're doing it now, and we're finding out a lot more positive tests. But what the true indicators are is, we talked about flattening the curve. That was to try to gather time for our hospitals to gather resources to take care of patients, and that's what they've had time to do. If you look at the number of tests, they've gone up. But the number of positive tests have gone up for that matter. But the real variable, there are two variables. One is the hospitalizations, and those have gone up, but they've stabilized kind of like a sawtooth if you look at overall. But the real variable that matters is the number of deaths, the number of fatalities that have come from COVID-19. And so while we've seen a rise without a doubt in positive tests, the number of deaths have plummeted. That's because we understand this disease process a lot more. Yeah, you're still going to probably get sick if you get this. You'll be maybe one of those one out of 30 people that ends up in the hospital. But the good chance is you're going to get treated and go home, which 3 months ago, that was really not the case.
And yet here we are, Congressman. And again, I was a big supporter of this. Everybody stay home for 2 weeks. Let's flatten the curve. But we know that went another two more weeks. And now, 3 months later, here we are. At what point, though, does somebody finally stand up and say, enough is enough? We cannot survive this way.
I think that point was a month, 6 weeks ago. Because, let's talk about the one thing that everybody's looking at right now. Let's talk about schools opening in the fall. In North Carolina, we have what they call a Board of Governors, which is a member group that's in charge of our 17 university system. I've spoken with several of them. They want to open schools back up. The chancellors want to open schools back up. The kids want to go back on to school, but the professors don't. Imagine that. And so if you look at populations, our kids are going to generally, they're going to be fine. They may get sick, but they're going to get better with it. If you look again at the statistics, in the state of North Carolina, not one single fatality has occurred in anybody under age 25. So, you know, we lose kids every year on campus to meningitis, and that's something that happens every year on campuses, but we don't close the campuses down. So let's get the kids back in school. Let's get the other kids, the younger kids, back in school safely, and it can be done. But let's stop running from this and start to learn to live with it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was supposed to be speaking at the North Carolina Republican Party's prayer breakfast in Raleigh, and they canceled that. The governor of your state seems to think it's okay for people to go out and protest, but, you know, God forbid you have a bunch of Republicans get together and pray. That's just unacceptable behavior.
The Democratic governor wanted three things out of this crisis. One was to run the NRC out, which he did. Two was to get mail-in voting, which fortunately for right now has been blocked. And three is basically to starve the economy so much that everybody becomes dependent upon the government for paychecks, for health care and everything. And, you know, that's what their mantra is, and that's absurd.
You know, Congressman, there's a lot of unrest in this country right now. And we have been calling out some in your party that have just not wanted to stand up and fight. You know, this is one of those times where you got to stand up and be counted. As uncomfortable as it may be for some of your colleagues up on Capitol Hill, you know, I think the average American voter, they're expecting their elected leaders to stand up and fight for America and fight for our values.
I think you're spot on with that because, you know, we're listening to the very, very vocal, what in my opinion is minority. If you look at what's going on in our country, I would submit that the vast majority of blacks in this country, the vast majority of whites in this country, just want to live peacefully. They want to live where they can get up in the morning, have a family, have a place to go to work, have respect, and just live their lives in peace. But we have those who are proposing and saying, well, we want unity, but all they're doing is creating division and hatred and animosity. And look at what's happened, you know, in Atlanta. Look at what's happened in Chicago. So it's time that the silent majority gets up and starts speaking again and saying, you know what, we've had enough. Enough is enough, and we need to be counted.
Well said. Congressman, we appreciate the fact that you're one of those guys willing to stand up and say what needs to be said, and we always appreciate your great advice on the medical issues as well.
Well, thank you very much. Y'all stay safe. These are times that I don't know that the nation's ever had before. I think our founding fathers would turn in the grave if they knew what was going on. And so many of our other leaders, I think Martin Luther King, one of them, would say that this is not the path towards peace. This is the path towards anarchy. Unfortunately, a lot of our Democratic colleagues are embracing that path, and I, for one, won't stand for it.
And they're stepping on the gas getting us there, too. That's a challenge.
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
Congressman, thank you again. Congressman Greg Murphy, folks, out of North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. New survey out from my buddy Scott Rasmussen, and I want to share this with you before we go to break. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. 50% of American voters say it's at least somewhat likely there will be a violent attempt to overthrow the United States government within the next decade. 50% of American voters. 18% say it's very likely. This is according to a survey conducted by Scott Rasmussen. Are you surprised by those numbers? Are you one of those people? You think that we are heading towards some sort of a violent attempt to overthrow the United States government? Is that where all of this goes? I mean, what happens when they tear down all the statues? Because you know that's going to happen. They're going to tear down all the statues. Do you see anybody up on Capitol Hill that's willing to take a stand and put a stop to that? What do you think is going to happen when Donald Trump, after his reelection, what do you think is going to happen after that? You think we're going to find another Republican with a backbone made of steel? 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
you're with Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Oh, Justin Timberlake's in the news. By the way, just curious here, Caleb Avery, you guys big Justin Timberlake fans, any songs in the rotation?
Not a huge fan, but I do like his, I don't dislike his stuff, just not one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, me too. He's got a very nice voice.
When he performed with Chris Stapleton at the CMAs a few years back, yeah. That was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
You know where he got his big break, by the way? You know, Timberlake's a Memphis, Tennessee guy.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I think his dad used to be like a music minister in a church.
Really?
Oh, okay.
And he went on a Star Search, which was a precursor to American Idol.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. I'm learning.
So here's a trivia question. This is a trivia question on the fly. You know what? We're going to give away a copy of my recent book, Culture Jihad, to whoever gets us correct. Who was the host of Star Search? The original host of Star Search. 844-747-8868, if you know the answer to that question. That's 844-747-8868.
It wasn't Steve Harvey, was it?
No, it wasn't Steve Harvey.
Okay, that's my guess.
He's the Family Feud guy. You see, I like Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson was the man.
Steve Harvey's pretty funny.
Well, no, I like Steve Harvey. I think he is funny. But Richard Dawson, he was kind of like one of these old school 1970s game show veterans, you know, from the old Match Game, by the way, where you can actually drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes on live television. And Richard Dawson, when he was on Family Feud, you know, he always looked like he had been, you know, he had already been to happy hour a couple of times, comes out to host the show. He goes down and you know how Steve Harvey, you go and say hello to each member of the family. Well, if there was like the Mrs., say if it was like Mrs. Starnes, it's the Starnes family. Richard Dawson would go over there and he would plant a big one right there on Mrs. Starnes. He had no qualms about that at all. Anyway, what were we talking about here? Justin Timberlake. Thank you. Digressing for a moment. My apologies. It's not, what is this? The Game Show Network. So anyway, Justin Timberlake's very upset with all of you people. He thinks that all of the Confederate monuments in America have to come down. Not just in the state of Tennessee, in America. Here's what Justin Timberlake, the man who brought us songs like, well, I don't know. What's a Justin Timberlake song? Is that the guy that brought Sexy back?
Yes, he was. Okay, very yeah. Can't drink.
What's the song? There was a song about the sunshine in your pocket.
Yeah, I forget the title of that one, but I do know the one you're talking about. Can't Drink You Away is pretty good.
Very strange lyrics. Anyway, he says, when we protest racism in America, people think we are protecting America itself. Why is that the reaction? Because America was built by men who believed in and benefited from, brace yourself, women, racism, plain and simple. So anyway, Timberlake thinks everybody who built America is racist. Can I say something about Timberlake here? I just want to throw this out here. Hasn't this guy, like, culturally appropriated black music? Can we make that argument that he's actually made a career by singing R&B songs in the rotation? Oh, by the way, Grace Baker, one of our great writers, she said the name of the song with the lyric, I've got sunshine in my pocket. The name of that is called Can't Stop the Feeling.
Of course it is.
What does that mean? Is that like a woman's song? Do many guys go around like on the construction site singing, I've got sunshine in my pocket? What happens if you have partly cloudy in your pocket? I just don't know.
Then the Thunder Rolls by Garth Brooks.
Thank you very much. Give me some Charlie Daniel. What this world needs, what Timberlake needs, is a little more redneck. See, this is what happens when you move away from your roots, you know? You kind of go off kilter like that. Anyway, Timberlake is very upset. He says, all of you people out there need to understand that America was built by racists. Ah, there you go. All right. Hey, look, coming up in the next hour of the show, this is a mind-blowing story. Out in Colorado, the attorney general there sent a cease and desist order to a Bible camp. They were holding a Bible conference, and we're going to get into this with Matt Staver from Liberty Council. He's actually representing the ministry. And also, a student at the University of North Georgia, which I think is where Avery goes to school.
I do.
Very upset.
I'm an alumni.
Very upset. Very upset over a mandatory mask policy. So we're going to get into that in the next hour as well. Hey, let's go to the phones. Kathy from Lynchburg, Virginia, listening to us on 94.1 FM. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Well, I'm not Richard Dawson, but I'm going to try my darndest. Kathy, you beautiful woman, you.
Yeah, he was pretty flirty, wasn't he?
Oh, he was flirty. Oh, that's the word, flirty. Yes, he was very flirty. Kathy, our time is quickly expiring here. Tell us, who was the original host of Star Search?
Ed McMahon.
Was it Ed McMahon? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is correct. Kathy, the beautiful caller from Lynchburg, Virginia, is absolutely correct. Ed McMahon, who used to also pal around with Johnny Carson back in the day.
That's right. We're showing our age by knowing that, too.
We're vintage, Kathy, vintage. That's the operative word. Kathy, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get you a signed copy of Culture Jihad. Thanks for playing spontaneous trivia. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. Go get a mask and go find a beautiful woman to kiss. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back, folks.